Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, the last Friday of the year, December 30th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you very much for choosing our show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on The Voice, KVOI, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our Voice Network partners, our friends in Douglas. Cochise County residents listen to our show on 9:30 a.m. KAPR, and in Gila County, up in Globe, Eastern Arizonans listen to Buckmaster on KJAA, AM 1240. We have live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And if you miss a particular show, plenty of opportunities to check it out. There are three venues for 24/7, anytime, anywhere listening: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, we get things going with our Friday Focus interview featuring a Southern Arizona newsmaker. Today, it's Jonathan Rothschild, the newly elected mayor of the city of Tucson. Joining me to question the mayor is Jimmy Bogle, editor of the Tucson Weekly, named the best non-daily newspaper in Arizona by the Arizona Newspaper Publishers Association this fall. We invite you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. You can also submit questions at buckmastershow.com or on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. I want to remind you that Friday Focus, our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show, is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. This is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Now, Jimmy Bogle, welcome, and Mayor Rothschild, welcome to you. Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you for having me, Bill.
How's it going the first couple weeks as the official mayor?
It has been like drinking out of a fire hose. It is very busy. I love being busy, and in that respect, I will love the job. There is never an end of challenges.
Kind of a weird aside, you know, I was thinking about the piece that Rhonda Bodfield did, the profile on you in the Star, and you mentioned that for your breakfast you eat this Greek yogurt. Well, I took your advice, and I'm now eating the Greek yogurt in the morning, and it's just packing this tremendous protein. I have much more energy, and I can see now how just for – because when I read that, I thought, well, how can a man just like this, with all he's got on his agenda, get along with just one Greek yogurt in the morning? Now I see.
And it'll be good for your figure, Bill.
Well, good, because one of my resolutions is to lose a few pounds, like everybody else. So you've been real busy. It's been crazy.
We have. I mean, part of it was you get elected on November 5th, and in Tucson's unique way, you are November 8th, you are inaugurated on December 5th. So there's a very short period between election and actually taking office, and I had to hire an entire staff. We don't get a lot of people, five people, so we spent those 3 weeks really trying. We had an open process and finding the best people, and I'm really thrilled with the staff we have.
But yeah, you have you pledged a business advocate, and that was one of the positions.
Yeah, Maricela Solis, who had been the former head of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and had been working at the YWCA and knows all the people in town who are concerned and interested, and she has been working as hard as I have, and she's out there in the community. It's great.
We'll try to sit down with her and have her on the Buckmaster Show in the new year.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you're in a honeymoon period, but that's going to be ending rather soon because I believe next month the legislature gets underway and all sorts of stuff are going on, and you're going to get thrown in head first like you haven't already. What are your priorities going to be for this year? I mean, there's a lot going on with the economy, Rio Nuevo, of course. You know, if you had to pick, you know, three or four big priorities that you want to focus on, what are those?
Well, my priorities are my 180-day plan, and our staff meets every Monday morning, and we go through the 180-day plan, and I find out where we are. And we've taken those matters to the agenda committee, and we're getting them put on the agenda. So those are my priorities. Now, within that 180-day plan, what's really important are two things. One, economic development here in Tucson, and streamlining processes and helping to make the city more and even more business friendly. The other is bringing communication and transparency to city government. I really believe that if we can continue to get the word out about what we do each week, that people will have a more positive view about the city of Tucson. And so in that regard, those are my priorities. When you mention the state legislature, they're not in my 180-day plan.
I wonder why.
And so you spend a lot of time not just dealing with your agenda, but dealing with everything that comes up that you have to deal with, and it keeps you busy.
Let's put this to the test. You said that if you could get the word out about what you're doing each and every week, that you think people would have a better impression of the city. Well, it's Friday. What have you done this week? Now, granted, I know it was
a short week.
It's a short week and it's a holiday week. But just throw something out there that happened this week, if you know that's good.
Well, I don't know from this week, but I can tell you in 3 weeks.
Okay.
We hired our business advocate. We've participated in business roundtables. We were out at Ward 4 and had about 120 business people expressing their concerns and us expressing, again, the things that go on in the city and just the way to better access the city. We passed, not this week, but 2 weeks ago, a plan amendment for the area between Euclid and Park and Speedway and 6, which is really the Westgate area, which really, and it was a tough issue, but really allows for higher density along the streetcar route and along the University of Arizona. So it's a significant change, which I think will be helpful. You know, I said I wasn't going to be a ribbon cutter, but you cut ribbons. And we announced 2 expansions of local businesses at a place called Bruker, which does nano microscopes, and a place called APAC, which you could take to be a call center, but this was one that fills pharmaceutical orders, so it hires pharmacists and pharmacy assistants, which was good. Part of what you do, and this did happen this week, the announcement came this week, we work a lot at the federal level, and this is the thing that I don't think people do know. So much of the money that we're relying on as a city, it either comes from sales tax, which is why we have to assist the business community, or it comes from the federal level. We received $2.4 million in round numbers federal grant for city housing this week for homeless assistance. And most of the other jurisdictions around the country got cut. And so, you know, and that's something that's so important now with, you know, the foreclosure crisis.
Did you also have a news conference, was it this week, about the DM and the drone operation?
Yeah,
and that to get that here for Tucson?
Yes, and that is, you know, you want to retain businesses, you want to expand businesses where you can, you want to bring new opportunities to Tucson. And we're one of 3 finalists for the drone program here in Tucson, where they basically will train the people to operate the drones. The drones, unlike something that came across my Facebook, the drones will not be flying over the city. But for this week, and this was a big story, and we couldn't have anticipated it, you know, the potential closure of the postal branch here.
Yes,
you know, and we spent a lot of the week organizing the community, getting people down to the community center, Leo Rich, and it was a good meeting. Senator McCain walked into my office this week, and unsolicited, and he was concerned particularly about Raytheon. So we had that conversation. But I mentioned the Postal Service to him, and, you know, I think it is true that the Postal Service has either got to change or it's going to shrink. But the issue is, why do you take this particular Postal Service, which is doing one of the biggest volumes in the United States, are the ones that are looking to close?
Mm-hmm. I think it's ridiculous. A city the size of Tucson, where we'd have to send all of our processing up the road to Phoenix, my goodness, it could take, well, they estimate 2 to 3 days.
Well, but this is where, you know, and there being is, In some ways, they're being forthcoming. That 2 to 3 days is for first-class service.
Yeah.
It's really on bulk mail, which is business mail, where people are just – it's more like 6 to 7 days.
And it is a regional issue, isn't it? I mean, because some of the – and this program is heard throughout Cochise County and a lot of these areas. So if it's going to be that long for Tucson, think about some of the other areas, Fort Huachuca, Sierra Vista, where they're processing.
All right. Well, so, Jimmy, that's what a mayor gets to do every week.
It was quite a scene at TCC. And, of course, they're having these meetings all around the country because they're talking about closing a lot of facilities. And Tucson would be one of the biggest, from what I understand, if not the biggest, that would be closed. Do you get a sense that there's actually some good that can come from this process? Do you think they're actually listening? Or do you think this is just a procedure they're going to go through? You know, do you have any sense on whether or not we actually have a chance of saving the postal facility here?
My definitive answer is I don't know. but I'll tell you the sense I got. The sense I got, and I could be wrong about this, was the Postal Service was almost calling out to Congress to say, we don't like this. There are things to do. Please do them. And Representative Grijalva was there. Somebody from Representative Gifford's office was there. Somebody from Representative Kyle's office was there. And I personally talked to Senator McCain and Senator Kyle. There are things that can be done, and Congressman Grijalva talked about 3 bills in Congress. Now, can they get through Congress? Is that going to be what's going to happen? But maybe this is democracy in action, and maybe if enough people come out and say, no, we don't think this is the best alternative, hopefully we can save our service. We got, and you know what? I'm learning really quick. You got to fight. You're not going to win every fight, but you got to fight.
We're going to take a break right here at 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday Focus, and Mayor Rothschild is with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, that is open, 790-2040. When we come back, I will ask the mayor. He said that Senator McCain dropped by. He also had some concerns about Raytheon. We'll find out what that's all about right after this.
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Firo Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Firo Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Firo Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at firoamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Twelve 19 on the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday Focus. The mayor of the city of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, is with us, and Jimmy Bogle, the editor of the Tucson Weekly. Mayor Rothschild, before we took the break, you had mentioned that Senator McCain paid you a visit at City Hall. Not only were you were talking about the possible closure of the Tucson Processing Center for the Post Office, but he had some concerns about Raytheon.
Yeah, I got the impression, I mean, it was a social visit, but I got the impression that his principal reason for being there was to alert me to the need to have a good relationship, the city, with Raytheon. He had expressed concerns about Raytheon taking itself back to Alabama. As a mayor of a city, it's a bad day when your largest employer were to leave town. We've got to work really hard not to have that happen. And so I expressed that it was on my radar screen that I'm meeting with and trying to meet with the executives of Raytheon and keep that relationship open and find out what their needs are, and they need to be compatible with the city. But as a high-tech, clean science industry, what Raytheon does to a large extent is very compatible.
What are the concerns that Senator McCain had? I don't want you to give away anything too confidential that he shared with you, but you know, there's been a lot of concern about that, and of course, I think it's heightened because of the economy. You know, like you said, you lose your biggest employer, that's not a good day. But it seems like there's been more concern recently about Raytheon leaving. Where does that come from?
Well, I'm not certain, but Raytheon, I know, has talked about if they want to stay here, they need to expand. And there's some parcels of land that are either on the west side of the property or the north side of the property that they need to purchase. They're privately owned. And it is my understanding that
this would be part of a proposed bond project.
Yeah,
we had Larry Hecker
okay. On
the Buckmaster Show here a week or so ago explaining the whole process that what is involved. And it's quite complicated, but this would be a bond issue that would go to the people because there's some realignment of some roadways that are involved. But Raytheon is looking for some kind of a long-term commitment, I think, as they do want to expand.
Right.
And that's kind of what's at stake here.
Right. And yeah. So my job is to communicate with them that we're going to be supportive, and clearly we're going to be supportive of the bond issue. There may be some always a devil in the detail, but if that's part of it, that's something that we want to be supportive of.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about Rio Nuevo, because anytime a city official's on this show or anytime you talk to him for anything, you've got to ask about it. And of course, this week was a big week with the announcement that Doug Biggers, the executive director of the Rialto Theater Foundation and the founder of the Tucson Weekly, I might add, is stepping down. Actually, that was not a surprise to a lot of people in the know, because he's got a theater he's trying to renovate and get going in Bisbee. But what is the latest? Because I know on TucsonWeekly.com last week, we ran a guest commentary from Steve Kosachik talking about how it was not very happy with how the Rio Nuevo board was treating the Rialto and saying, guys, any money they bring in is gravy. There's no debt here. What is the latest with the situation with Rio Nuevo and the city and TCC and the Rialto and that whole, for lack of a better word, mess?
Is that what it's been?
Ongoing.
The Rio Nuevo District Board and the city of Tucson are currently involved in a mediation. We've been there 2 days. We're going back next Thursday, I believe. We're talking. We're still talking. I guess that's the good news.
That's a start.
It's a start. Former Chief Justice Thomas Lackett is conducting it. He's no inconsequential person. And so we're doing our best with it. Everybody wants to see resolution. There's just no question about that. Everybody wants to see this downtown go forward. I feel a little constrained because of the fact that we're in the mediation.
Sure,
and the Chief
right.
Justice has asked us not to talk about the mediation. We are going to do our best to bring it to resolution, and I hope we can.
Let me follow up a little bit about downtown. A group of downtown Tucson business leaders led by Fletcher McCusker, the president of Providence Institute, and he is a downtown heavyweight. He's been very instrumental in downtown, is leading this effort to dramatically overhaul Rio Nuevo in hopes of salvaging some of the redevelopment area there. What do you think of this downtown Tucson initiative? Steve Kasachek had a op-ed piece in today's Arizona Daily Star. He says, quoting, "This has bad faith written all over it."
I don't believe it's well thought out. I'm meeting with Fletcher, not next week, but the following week, because that's what my schedule will allow. I'm going to meet with some of the people who have purportedly said they're behind it.
It was a 10-page proposal that they put forth.
Yeah, it says no property tax, no sales tax, no impact fees, no development fees through the substantial part of our community for at least 10 years, run by a appointed board, which is appointed by people elected from Maricopa County. I don't think that's going to get us where we need to be. There's all sorts of difficulties. I'm going to go through their proposal very carefully this weekend just to see what in it we can even continue to talk about, because the mediation is one thing, but the legislature can legislate, and we're going to have to be prepared for that as well.
Well, they've proven that with the current Nuevo board and making it into what it is today. I have to ask about January 8th because it's on the minds of a lot of us. It's the anniversary is a week from Sunday, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. I know at the Weekly we're putting together a very huge cover package on it and trying to be optimistic, and there's a lot to be optimistic about, but there's also some things in terms of the mental health laws and the gun laws that maybe there's not some reason for optimism there. Tell me about what you've got planned for the next week in terms of the January 8th anniversary.
On Saturday, I'm going to – Saturday is a – I know you the two of you know, but for the yes. listeners, Saturday is a day put together by Gabe Zimmerman's family.
That's January 7th.
I'm sorry, January 7th, correct. And there's just a whole series of community events.
He'll be here on the Buckmaster Show Tuesday, Gabe Zimmerman's dad, talking about all of these activities. I mean, it's a huge group of activities in different venues.
And so at one of the events, they're going to read the Constitution, I think, over at Pima Community College. I'm going to go over to that event. Then there's a day in Reed Park, and I'm going to go over to that event. On Sunday, there are less events scheduled. I'm personally focusing on the afternoon. There's a interfaith service at St. Augustine at 1 o'clock. There is a memorial service at Centennial at 3:30 in the afternoon, where representatives of each of the deceased is going to speak. And then at 6:30, there's a candlelight vigil service on the mall at the U of A, and I will be there, and I will be speaking at that.
And I know that at 10:11 a.m., which was the exact anniversary, there a group of people are trying to get some bell ringing together to ring bells in remembrance. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and in that regard, we are sending out hopefully today an email to all of the mayors in the United States asking them to join or have their communities join at 10:11.
Yeah, there is, as I say, this is we need to recognize this day, but we also need to realize the way that this community has rallied in the wake of what happened.
I think it's – we've talked about this a little off-air, but it's obviously a sobering weekend. But at the same time, if the hope that we can build out of it, the bringing together of the community that we can bring out of it, we've got to go in that direction. And as a community for the last year, I think we have. I think we've shown to the country as a whole – what this community is really made of.
Well, there's been a lot of great things that have happened. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, Bill Carnegie was on, the CEO of the food bank, and they spent over $200,000 to get a family assistance center going. So there is a lot of good there. Got kind of a bummer note there, but there is a lot of. I mean, it was a terrible thing, and God wish it never happened. But there's been some good that's come of it too.
Right.
Coming up now on 12:29 on the Buckmaster Show Friday Focus, want to thank Mayor Rothschild for being with us. And so top priorities, getting back to – you got economic development still is right at the top.
Yeah.
And the official streetcar start has been pushed back a little
bit. Well, it really hasn't. They're going out to bid – and I think things are on schedule. I saw that same story you saw where they were a little couple months behind, but they're really not in terms of getting things going. So, yeah, that will, over the course of the next couple of years, we'll watch the bumps in that road. But the job will be to get it done on time, on budget, as best we can.
Yeah, there's no way around it. It is a disruptive process. You just don't put that modern streetcar. It just doesn't happen 24 hours later. It's there.
Nope.
Okay, Mayor Rothschild, Happy New Year to you, and thank you very much for being with us.
Same to you guys, and we'll see you next year.
Yeah, we'll look forward to having you on the program once a month here on the Buckmaster Show. We've got the Friday Reporters Roundtable coming up. Lots to talk about, a lot of big stories this year. That's coming up with Jimmy Bogle, and Dylan Smith is going to be joining us. Dylan is waiting in the wings on the Buckmaster Show Friday edition.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Newt Gingrich says it's easier for him to talk policy than to talk personal. He made that comment after he choked up and wiped away tears during an event with mothers in Iowa today. Gingrich had been recalling his own mother's struggle with depression and mental illness. Michelle Bachmann has had some kind words, but not an outright endorsement from Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King, with whom she appeared today at a small-town cafe in his congressional district. Arson investigators in Los Angeles are looking for building security videos and witnesses. They try to find out who went on a four-hour arson rampage overnight, setting fire to cars in Hollywood and West Hollywood. Two doctors are in custody, one in New Jersey, one in Utah, after being charged with murder in Maryland. They're accused of performing late-term abortions. More details at srnnews.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
There are times when you save. And there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge!
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
.12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. And a couple of programming notes. Monday is a holiday. It's a rare occasion that the Buckmaster Show will be a best of show. We're going to redo that Southwest Books of the Year, which is an interesting half hour talking about Baker's Dozen, 13 top picks of books of the year. That will be a Monday. Tuesday, we will be back at it live here. And another programming note, get your questions ready for Dr. Andrew Weil. He will be our guest at 12:30 on Wednesday here on the Buckmaster Show. And today we've got a little expanded edition of our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Weekend Watch, we gave Matt Russell the week off. He's over in Maui right now. I'm sure he's on the beach taking it easy, getting ready for his New Year's. So we're going to do the whole half hour about look back a little bit over the past year and maybe the past week to begin with. And this is the Friday Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. And our reporter roundtable today guests, Jimmy Bogle, editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Dylan Smith is here, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. If you'd like to join in, the live line is always open for you, 790-2040. Dylan, I understand TUSD has selected a new governing board member as of, I think, just as we went on the air today at noon.
Yeah, just before noon this morning, the Pima County Superintendent of Schools announced that she had appointed Alexander Sugiyama to fill the vacant seat, the seat that was left vacant when Judy Burns died in October.
And can you tell us anything about this new board member?
Very little. I actually don't know very much about the man. He's a lecturer in economics at the U of A. Apparently, he's been doing some business outside of that. And he was one of 54 people who were applied for the position, and they
supposedly they interviewed all 54.
There was a committee, a citizens advisory committee from TUSD, who interviewed everybody. They forwarded three names to the Pima County Schools chief. She interviewed those three people and then appointed Sugiyama this morning.
It's very interesting how this went down, and I will admit I know nothing about the new school board member. But there were a lot of big names, big names when it comes to the school board, at least. But people who'd run for the office before.
Who'd held the office before, with Bruce
exactly.
Burke.
And it's interesting that they went in a route for someone who is, at least in our circles, largely unknown. So be interesting to learn more about him.
I'm sure it will crank up some of the people who are not fans of Mark Stegeman, who is also in the economics department over at the U of A. I'm sure they'll start drawing some lines there. But I don't know the man, and I have no idea.
But I wish him luck.
TUSD's ethnic studies program found in violation again, this time by an administrative law judge. Jimmy Bogle, your thoughts on this? Is this a big surprise?
No, it's really not a big surprise. And I think that the one thing that's kind of hanging out there right now that could change things substantially is, of course, the federal lawsuit that 11 TUSD teachers have filed. And I know that Richard Martinez, the lawyer for them, was trying to get some sort of injunction or some sort of action to keep ethnic studies going. And I think at this point, that's probably the only thing that can really save ethnic studies right now. Of course, now that there's five members on the TUSD board, again, that could change. But, it's really looking bad. It's going to be very hard for TUSD to accept a 10% decrease in state funding in any way, shape, or form. They just can't do that right now.
That's a hell of a lot of money.
It really is. The
biggest impediment I see to getting rid of ethnic studies is the fact that it is a part of the desegregation plan that is court approved, and essentially TUSD has said, here's the programs that we're going to do to, you know, under court oversight because of past discrimination. And
so something would happen.
The Mexican-American Studies program is, you know, a fundamental part of that plan. So they can't just up and, even if the board were to vote to get rid of it, they would still have to take that before a federal judge to get approval as part of that plan.
Well, so that was kind of our big story of the week. I think we should move on now to what has been really 2011, a turbulent year in Arizona, and starting with the January 8th shooting massacre that killed 6 and wounded 13, including, of course, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who is still recovering from that gunshot wound to the head. Dylan Smith, let's begin with you. I think this is the story that would top just about everybody's list.
Not only is it the top news story in Tucson of the year, it's one of the top news stories around the world this year. You know, it was an amazingly shocking event.
Yeah, and of course, the fact that, you know, Gabrielle Giffords has had somewhat of an inspiring recovery, which of course was touted on the book tour, unfortunately, a little bit too much in my opinion. But the fact of the matter, you know, I wish she would have been talking more about it here in Southern Arizona instead of tying it to a book that her husband largely wrote. But nonetheless, the fact of the matter is she's had an amazing, inspiring recovery, and I think that's kept it in the news, and it's given it, you know, the story legs, and it's given it a very, very nice angle. The fact of the matter is, you know, she's come a long way. You know, she's never going to be quite the same, but she might be enough to keep serving. Who knows at this point? But I think that her recovery is just as big of a story almost, because it's really inspired a lot of people. You know, that sounds corny, but it's true.
And it will be her recovery will continue to be a big story, and one of the big question marks will be whether or not she will be continuing in politics. That's still to come, and will be one of the big stories of 2012. From what I understand, she will be appearing, and I don't know which event she will be appearing at this weekend, but we do expect that Congresswoman Giffords will be in town for some of these tributes.
Yeah, they indicated a couple of months ago that she would be coming for the anniversary. They still haven't put out word as to where she might show up or what she might do, but Gabby's going to be in town next weekend.
It has been the big guessing game, though, about her political future.
Well, yeah, and I think that actually a lot of that guessing has been kind of silly, and people have been trying to read tea leaves, when the fact of the matter is, I think from the very beginning, no one's known how well she's going to recover. No one knows what she's going to want to do. I mean, there's two issues. Number one, if she's recovered well enough that she thinks she can serve. And number two, if she wants to continue serving. I mean, that's the big thing out there. You know, people are trying to read tea leaves and question Mark Kelly in these interviews. And we just really at this point do not know. And, you know, we'll know sometime between now and May when she has to make the decision whether or not to run again. But it's just the question is really up in the air right now.
How's her district this read, and which is, of course, one of my top stories, the controversy, Dylan Smith, over redistricting of the state's congressional and legislative districts. What is her district looking like right now?
It seems to be looking pretty much the same as it has been. That's one district that really, you know, they're changing the number on it, but the boundaries haven't changed all that.
It'll be number two, I believe, now.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's still, Republicans will outnumber Democrats, but there will be a significant number of independents, and the independents in that area tend to lean Democratic a bit. So it'll be a, you know, fairly up for grabs district. But I think if she were to run again and, you know, run an effective campaign, I would call her a shoo-in.
Yeah, she's a shoo-in. The district, it actually got slightly more – it was always a slight Republican edge, and it's almost 50-50 now. Raul Grijalva's district actually is even more Democratic, if you can imagine. And then the interesting thing is, if these maps stay the same way, the new District 1 is actually going to come into Southern Arizona, and there will be actually three districts that have a part of the greater Tucson area, because District 1 is coming down into the Oro Valley-Saddlebrook area. area.
And parts of Marana,
yeah. And that actually will be it's considered a competitive district, but the Democrats actually will have an edge over Republicans in that district, which has a lot of people in the very Republican Saddlebrook and Oro Valley area not very thrilled right now.
I think that's called District 1.
That's District 1, yes.
Which is huge, right?
It's huge. it's one of those districts that you look at and you go, it just doesn't look quite right because it includes Flagstaff. And you've got a district that includes Flagstaff and Marana, and you think,
all the way down to the eastern edge of Cochise County.
Exactly. It's a bizarre district.
All the way to the Grand Canyon.
It's a bizarre district.
And so the Grijalva district is, I think, 3.
That will be 3.
He lost a little bit of the Yuma County, but pretty much it stays the same.
Yeah, it's pretty similar as well. And actually the parts of Yuma, from what I understand, that he lost were actually more Republican areas. So, those are 3 of the seats. The rest of the other 6 districts are pretty darn red. And it's going to be interesting to see. I think that we'll find out.
Take a break right here. Coming up on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. This is an expanded edition of our Friday Reporters Roundtable, kind of a year in review. We're looking back over the year, looking ahead to 2012. And, of course, Russell Pierce's name has to come up, and that will come up on the Buckmaster Show next. Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock, for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in 2 items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits 2 people, and you can bring up to 2 items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my 2 items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
This is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Jimmy Bogle is with us from the Tucson Weekly and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. We're going over some of the big stories of the year, looking back over 2011, looking ahead to 2012. And Senate President Russell Pierce, one of Arizona's most powerful lawmakers, was ousted by a political novice named Jerry Lewis during a November recall election. Got to be one of the top political stories, Dylan Smith.
Well, Russell Pierce was, you know, an iron-fisted lawmaker. He really
called the most powerful.
He ran the state senate. He ran the legislature,
yeah.
And if he didn't want a bill to see the light of the day, it it wouldn't even get pulled out of the pile. Probably wouldn't even get typed up. Why bother?
I mean, he set the agenda
completely. And you know, with Pierce no longer there, I think we might see a different sort of atmosphere in the state legislature.
I agree with that. I think there's two big questions. Number one, how is this going to affect the legislature, and will it be a little bit saner, I'll use the word, this year than it was last year? And then the second thing is, what's next for Russell Pierce? I mean, we've talked about this on this show before. You know, what if, you know, he could decide to get his seat back? And I personally think that if he decided to do that, he could, given the fact that he'd probably win a primary that the voters in a Republican primary tend to be right wing. And I can't see him in his district, although I haven't looked at his district specifically and how it's been redrawn in the redistricting maps. It's hard to imagine that general part of Arizona, yeah, him not winning.
His replacement is also, almost equally as right wing, mm-hmm, a little bit less didactic on the subject of illegal immigration. But, he's a, complete economic social conservative, Jerry Lewis is, just like Russell Pierce.
And one of the things we'll be looking at as we look at the legislative session, which is going to be starting up here in a couple of weeks, and every lawmaker I have on the program, I ask, is immigration a back burner issue? And they all say, well, then maybe not so back burner, but it certainly takes a back seat to economic development, seems to be what the big theme is going to be.
Well, there's so much playing out right now still with immigration, with SB 1070 and all of the other laws akin to that around the nation, that I don't see too many legislatures anywhere around the country trying to tackle these issues until some of this stuff gets sorted out in court.
But they're not going to be on the back burner, because it's a very good chance that sometime during the legislative session, the feds are going to rule, mm-hmm, on SB 1070. And no matter how that goes, it's going to put the issue back onto the front burner in a lot of people's,
yeah,
minds. So it's going to be around, make no mistake.
Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio making not only headlines here in Arizona but across the country with his aggressive and controversial moves against illegal immigrants in 2011, and with the problems related to top members of his staff. A couple of weeks ago on December the 15th, the U.S. Justice Department accused Sheriff Arpaio's Office of Discrimination Against Latinos. Your thoughts on Sheriff Arpaio, Dylan?
Really, if I lived in Maricopa County, my concern would be that the laws were being enforced effectively. And, again, there were reporters who went back, and the Associated Press went back and took a look. And one of the original reporters that won a Pulitzer Prize for the East Valley Tribune went back and took a look at, here are cases that are not being followed up on of rapes and child abuse. And, they're finding people who were suspected in one crime that was never investigated in the slightest by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department. And somebody went back out,
yeah,
and he was, convicted again of rape. And, people are going – real criminals are going unprosecuted.
And a lot of the reporting that's come out recently was based, I think, on that original East Valley Tribune award-winning piece mm-hmm. and series of stories.
But he's still wildly popular. I mean, there are still a lot of Republicans who are coming out and defending him and criticizing the Obama administration and the Justice Department for this suit, saying that he's stepping in where the feds wouldn't. Make no mistake, he's still popular in a lot of circles. And I think one of the big questions is what his political future is going to be. Is he going to run again? If he doesn't run again, maybe our good friend Russell Pierce decides to run for Maricopa County Sheriff. He's openly talked about that in the past. And that's going to be one of the big questions for 2012, I think. And even though this is, you know, a Maricopa County issue, it affects our state, affects the image of our state. I mean, there's some consequences for the Tucson area in this too.
Looking ahead to the city of Tucson in 2012, we touched on some of the issues, Jimmy, in our interview with the new mayor. And of course, that's one of the big stories of the year here in Tucson, that Tucson elected a new mayor, Jonathan Rothschild, who took the helm after 12 years of Mayor Bob Walkup. He talked a little bit, Rothschild, about some of his priorities, economic development. But Dylan, something has to be done about this Rio Nuevo situation, especially the TCC, the Tucson Convention Center.
Sorry, I've got no good answers for you.
You don't? Can't you fill me in? What'd you do? Leave your crystal ball out in the car?
You know, it's just such a mess, and there are so many people now who are saying, oh, we just need to, you know, forget the whole thing. Didn't really work. Let's just wrap it up and forget about it. And
tear down
but there
the
are,
TCC.
You know, there are debts to be paid. There are, you know, bonds to be paid off. There's tax money going into Rio Nuevo right now. They're sitting on a rather substantial pot of money and, you know, not really doing anything with it. And really, right now, all the tax money is going to pay lawyers. Rio Nuevo's got lawyers. The city's got lawyers. Everybody's, you know, getting prepared to sue each other. That's where the money's going.
I'm dying to know how the mediation is going. I wish I could have tackled Mayor Rothschild as he was walking out the door and gotten him to tell us some stuff that he's not supposed to tell us because they promised not to say anything with the mediation. But that's going to be an interesting thing to see how that goes. I mean, I think that's the first step, is seeing how this mediation goes, and then we'll go from there. And, you know, how the city and how the Rio Nuevo Board respond to whatever's decided as a result of the mediation. I think that's the first step there. And, of course, there's the effort being put forward by Fletcher McClusker and a lot of the other downtown business folks that Mayor Rothschild was not too high on. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And, of course, you never know what's going to come out of the Maricopa County Legislature starting in January. Who knows what joys and surprises they'll unleash upon Tucson and Rio Nuevo.
What's at the top of the list for priorities for most residents of Tucson? I would say it probably isn't Rio Nuevo. I would say, Dylan Smith, it's getting some of the potholes fixed on their local streets.
That's true.
But there's no money to fix it. That's what we hear.
Yeah. And, you know, you need to bring money into a city. You know, we need to have sales tax revenue. That's where the city gets its money. And so much of what the city has been getting from the state legislature has been either cut. You know, they've cut special funds for this and that, or they've stopped funding things on the state side that both the city and especially the county have had to pick up. You know, the county has picked up tons of burdens that just because the state has decided that, you know, to pretend to balance the state's books, they've just shoved a lot of responsibility off on local jurisdictions.
And I thought Mayor Rothschild made a very interesting point that a lot of the money comes from the federal government too, and their financial situation, some people might have heard, is not exactly that great right now with how many trillions of dollars in debt. So there's a tenuous future. There is a little bit of reason for optimism, I think, though. The economy we're hearing and seeing is maybe possibly just a little starting to turn toward the positive growth aspect, and we'll see if that can hold. And you know that they're talking about fewer furloughs possibly this year with the city. And so there are some reasons for optimism, but you know, I can relate. There's literally a pothole right in front of my house on the street that I keep hitting with my car.
And that means fixing the alignment in your car.
But that's an issue. And I think, you know, just a lot of cosmetic things. I mean, the graffiti problem, I mean, that's just going insane in certain parts of town. And the city's, you know, trying to keep on top of it. But there's a lot of issues out there that are relatively easy to fix. It just takes money, and there's not a lot of that running around right now.
Yeah, there's very little money apparently to fix most. I think I've heard figures it would cost to fix all the potholes in Tucson would cost like, I don't know, $1 billion. Maybe that's too much, but
I don't know what it would be, but it would be substantial. But you know, these are quality of life issues, and you know, Tucson's got a lot of pluses, but let's face it, there's some problems as well, and I wish Mayor Rothschild the best.
Dylan, some final comments. What do you think is going to be the big story early into the year? The way the city and the Rio Nuevo, is that kind of at the top of your list?
Well, you know, that's certainly interesting. I think, you know, just more on a macro scale, what we were, you know, just talking about is, you know, general quality of life issues and how is the, you know, is the economy going to start to pick up a little bit more? That'll certainly help, you know, local small businesses. And the more healthy our local small businesses are, the more healthy our community is.
I think it's going to be the election. I mean, it's going to start early with the presidential primary, and then we're going to have an open Senate seat. Who knows what's going to happen with the House of Representatives. I think the election is going to be the big story of 2012.
Both of you, have a great new year. Happy New Year to Dylan and Jimmy and all our listeners. Thanks.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Same to you.
Friday Focus presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, it only takes two for a team. Our producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and happy holiday. Happy New Year, everybody. We will be back Monday on the Buckmaster Show, noon to 1.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.